Hello, everybody. So many people. Is anybody sharing beds? It looks like there's more people than rooms almost. Nice to see all of you. Are you excited? Are you not excited? Who is not excited? Well, if you're whether you're excited or not, you're all allowed to be here. So, my name is Sunjo, and I will. I'm supposed to be your teacher during this retreat, but when I teach retreats, I always tell people that I am not the teacher. You are yourself your own teachers in this retreat, and I will be just a guide. I will give you some ways that you might meditate, but these are just suggestions, and you can do something else if you feel like that, especially if you have some experience with meditation already and you know what suits your mind, and you can do something else. There's a nice story by the Buddha where he makes up a simile for meditation. And he says, a good meditator is just like a good cook. And a good cook knows what the customer likes. This is actually, it was about a cook for like a king. And this cook was a good cook if he knew exactly the kind of dishes that the king likes. And the bad cook just always cooks whatever, regardless of what the king likes. And the king stands for your mind, and the cook is like you, and the dishes are the meditation. And by that I mean there's many different ways to meditate, as some of you might know, but you have to choose which dish is good for your mind, which meditation suits you. So I decided to teach this meditation retreat on the subject of metta meditation, which is a word in the language of the Buddha, and it means something like love, kindness, acceptance, embracing, kindness and friendliness. And this is an emotion that the Buddha said we can actively develop in ourselves, and especially through meditation. And I chose to teach on that topic this whole retreat because I often find that people teach retreats and it's mostly about things like focusing on the breathing for most of the talks, and then, oh, by the way, you can also do metta meditation. But in my practice, I do a lot of metta meditation, and maybe 50% or something of my meditation, at least lately. And I want to hopefully get you to taste a little bit of why this meditation is so beneficial. Does that sound like a good idea? Or do you want me to teach something else? We can still change. No? Maybe some of you came here specifically because it was announced as metta meditation, and then I would be a bad teacher. But as I said, I'm not really the teacher. You are the teacher, because you are the ones who get the feedback from your mind. You know what works and what doesn't. And I am going to just give some suggestions. As I said, I'll be more like a guide. I will tell you, try this, try that. When I was a couple of months ago, I was in Poland and I was teaching a meditation retreat there as well, and I also went through different cities to teach different Buddhist groups there on meditation and other aspects of Buddhism. And when I was in Krakow, they took me and the rest of the group, one of the people of the group was a tour guide for the big castle in Krakow. Vostok Castle or something like that, it doesn't matter what it's called, but that already shows you how much attention I was paying. I can't even remember the name. But one of the people was a tour guide for the castle, one of the people in the group. And so he took all of us to the castle to see the towers and the burial mounds and the houses and whatever there were. But we were all more interested in talking to each other about Buddhism, getting to know each other. And so we kept losing the tour guide. It was so funny. He was just walking one way and we were only a little bit behind, but for some reason we just took the other way and we lost him. And had to look over through the castle, where did he go? So we were more interested in other things. And the tour guide was just showing us different things. So that's why I'm saying, I'm just your guide and you can do whatever you want if you feel like it. But I've got some very beautiful things to show you, so hopefully you don't lose the tour guide. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was in that castle, it was really a tourist, like hotspot. And they even had knights in armor standing in front, and you could go there and take a picture with the knight. And then, of course, you pay some money to the knight, and then for the kids and stuff. And I was wearing this. And I thought, oh, I hope they don't think I'm a part of it. Like one of the monks that live in the castle or whatever. There was, because there was also this chapel, and they had all these pictures of monks there, Christian monks. But anyway, nobody came up to me to take a picture of, except all the people in that group afterwards. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling that, but we give these talks without much preparation, so sometimes it's a little bit random. I hope you don't mind. Keeps it a bit loose as well, not too strict. And that is exactly one of the things that is important when we do meditation. Don't be strict. Be loose. Be relaxed. And this is where the emotion of kindness comes to the front as well, because it is about kindness, not just to other people. It's very important that we also have kindness to ourselves and have kindness to the meditation as well. We are kind to the meditation. Oh, the meditation is so easy, because then whatever happens, it's fine. We are kind, we accept it, whatever happens. And therefore this metta meditation is not something separate from other kinds of meditation that you might do or might learn in the future. It goes together. It's ingrained. Because even if you do meditation on the breath, then you can be kind to the breath, and then the breath becomes just so much more nice to look at. And I might do a guided meditation on that later, who knows. So, little question for you. Who is on their first retreat? I know it's only a couple days. So, and who's first time meditation? All right, excellent. We got one new one. Shall we do the initiation ceremony? Yeah, you know the one where they have to meditate on the spike mat? And the hot coals? No, we don't do that. Anybody who is new to meditation or new to retreat, don't worry. Everything will be fine, because we are going to do also a very safe meditation method in this retreat. By safe, I mean you can't really go wrong with kindness, can you? What's wrong with kindness? It does sometimes happen. People get taught very technical meditation techniques and they get a bit stuck in that. But with kindness, you can never get stuck. And it's always very, very safe to develop. So I'm not worried that anything will go wrong. But if you are worried in this retreat that something might go wrong, then you can always come and talk to me privately, maybe arrange through a Sharanga. So, about kindness. That's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to call it kindness instead of metta, probably, because it sounds a bit more familiar. But it means something stronger than just kindness. It means, it's often translated as loving kindness, metta. It's a little bit of an artificial term because that's not really an English term, loving kindness, but they do that because it's not just kindness, it also includes love as well. And by love, I don't mean like romantic love or passionate love, but the kind of love that is accepting, like this kind of love, you know. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? Maybe you already get a little bit of feeling what I mean if you just see the teddy bear. Do you like teddy bears? No. So, that's fine, I won't use the teddy bears then. Yeah, Ajahn Brahm's idea, by the way. He calls it bear awareness. Anyway. So, loving kindness. It is such a useful emotion to have, not just in meditation, but in life in general, to develop this quality that I will be teaching you in this retreat. And you might think, oh, love and kindness, it's only about how I act towards other people. I act towards other people with kindness. But this emotion, you can actually develop towards other things as well. Not just people, and not just yourself, but also life in general. And even specific things that might happen to you in life. And I already said, you can also develop loving kindness to the breath, for example. It's, I might talk about later, but you can also develop loving kindness, as I said, if there is difficult situations in your life. And I'm going to give a little bit of a little silly example. You might think, oh, that's not a difficult situation compared to what I am facing. But I'll give you an example of how I use loving kindness quite recently to make my life more easy. You've all chosen to come to this talk and to these retreats and listen to these talks. And by the way, it's all voluntary. If you think my talks are bad and you don't want to come tomorrow, I don't mind. But when you maybe listen to Ajahn Brahm's talks on the internet, you know Ajahn Brahm? Most of you probably do. And it's your choice. You can go on the internet and listen to the talk whenever you want, or you come maybe to Nalamar even whenever you want to listen live. But as a monk, I have to always come every Wednesday, whether I like it or not. There's always a monastic talk every Wednesday, and Ajahn Brahm teaches us. And he has many lovely stories, but I have heard them 1,000 times. The bed breaks in the wall, and all the stories about when I was a young monk. And at some point, I don't know why, but I was not enjoying the talks anymore. And I had to come, and I was always hard, and I have to walk. My heart is somewhere over there, and meditation hall somewhere over there. I have to walk 20 minutes in the hot day. I listen to do all the chanting, boring, you know. And then listen to the talk. My mind was in that mindset. And then I thought, even the talks. I thought, the talks are really bad recently. Ajahn Brahm is not giving good talks. That's what I felt. That's what I really thought. But suddenly I realized, I have a bad attitude to these talks. I already walk into the door with the attitude of, another talk, here we go again. Two bell bricks in the wall, blah, blah, blah. He's a lovely teacher, Ajahn Brahm, but so nothing personal, but there was just something that was in my mind. And then I realized, what if I develop loving kindness towards the talks? If I develop this feeling of acceptance and kindness towards this situation, I don't maybe not really have a choice as a monk. I have to come anyway, so I might as well be kind to all that. The chanting, be kind to the chanting. You know, accept it as part of my life and really, like, embrace it. Is this the way it is? Might as well love it in a way, you know? And so that's what I did. There was a talk by Ajahn Brahm, and I just sat there. Ah, oh, yeah, this talk, ah, oh, really nice. The best talk ever. I really like this talk. Mm-hmm. I was just doing that kind of talking in my head. And the talk, at first it wasn't so bad anymore. Ah, this talk is a little bit better than all the last week, I thought. And as it kept going, ah, oh, this talk is more better the longer it goes. And at the end, I went back to my hut and with another person in the monastery, and I said, ah, oh, that was a great talk. But I realized, oh, it was just my attitude actually that made it great, because I was there to listen and I wasn't already judging the talk from the get-go with a negative emotion. Does that make some sense? Mm-hmm. All right, so if any of my talks are bad during this retreat, I'm just going to blame you. No, I don't know. Whatever. But that is just an example of how you can use loving kindness or acceptance to accept certain situations in your life. And we will all face more difficult situations than just, quote, boring talks on a Wednesday. We might get sick. We might have trouble with other people. Our family might pass away, and all these kind of things. We can also develop kindness towards that as well. And this is when loving kindness has to be really strong, because we just accept the way life is with an open door or an open heart. Ajahn Brahm always gives this simile of the opening the door of your heart, which I might mention later, which I've also heard a thousand times before. But that is another way that we can use metta meditation, or just the general feeling. I also remember one time as a very young monk, or maybe I wasn't even a monk yet, but I was living in a monastery already. And I, during the work time, I was assigned to wash the cars. Yeah. And at first I thought, oh, washing the cars, whatever, they're just going to get dirty again. Why do people wash cars? That's what I sometimes think. But then when I was washing the car, I was like doing loving kindness to the car. You know, I'm going to take care of you, car. I'm going to make you really shiny because you deserve it. And then Ajahn Brahmali walked past, and I said, ah, oh, Ajahn Brahmali, do you have also loving kindness towards cars? And he looked at me like, hmm? What are you talking about? And it does sound a bit silly, but it is not, because it can make life more easy, this emotion of kindness and acceptance. And it is something we can develop in meditation, and there's many ways that we can apply it, there's many ways we can use it. And I'm only doing one weekend retreat, there's no way that I can teach you everything that metta meditation can be good for. Yeah? So I will just give you some highlights, some ways to do it. And for that we will also do some guided meditations as well. Most of you will be familiar, but with guided meditations, I give some instructions on how you can meditate, how you can develop these attitudes and emotions in your mind. But again, I'm just a guide. Those are just suggestions. So if you feel like it doesn't work, you can try something else, even during the guided meditation, if you want to. This is why it's called guided meditation, not forced meditation. Just giving some suggestions. So then I will teach you some ways to do metta meditation. Have some of you tried it before? Please raise your hand if you did. And who never did it before? Yeah, of course, some people. Okay, most of the people have. That's excellent. And Is there anybody who tried it before but felt like it wasn't working? Yeah. Yes. Quite a few people. And that, I asked that question because that is something that is quite common. Nothing wrong with that. People say, oh, I follow the instructions, but it doesn't really seem to click. I don't feel that emotion that you're talking about, and it doesn't seem to work. So, am I doing it wrong? And for that question, I have a little story, or a parable, you know, or a simile, whatever you want to call it. But imagine that you are sitting in a room, and in the room, it's freezing cold because somebody turned the air conditioning to minus 10. They don't go that far, but imagine that it could. And it was freezing cold. And in front of you was a big cube of ice. And the cube of ice is also very cold, also minus 10 degrees. So then you come and think, oh, I want to melt this cube of ice, this cold brick. So what do? You turn up the temperature a bit, add 1 degree, and you look at the cube of ice. And you say, oh, it's not melting. Add up the temperature a little bit more, minus 5 degrees. Oh, it's still not melting. A bit more. Minus 2 degrees, I must be doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And so you stop turning the temperature up. But of course, if you would have just kept turning the temperature up further, then at some point, a block of ice would start melting. And you reach like a certain tipping point of 0 degrees. And everything above that, it starts melting. And it's the same with metta meditation. With kindness meditation, sometimes we feel like we are trying to raise the temperature in our heart, but it doesn't seem like anything is melting. Like it still stays cold inside. And then I say, just keep going, keep trying, raising the temperature further. And at some point, you'll see, just like with the block of ice, you'll see the first drop of water when it first starts to melt. And then you realize, oh, it is actually working. Yeah? So be patient, is what I'm saying. And even if you might even try this whole retreat to develop loving kindness in yourself, and you still think, oh, it's not working. Am I a failure? No, you're not. Just keep raising the temperature. And you will, maybe not even in this retreat, but later, you'll see what I'm talking about. And that will be such a big change in your meditation and in your life. Because how cool is it if you can just willfully generate a feeling of kindness whenever you want to? Isn't that great? Some people think that they are a slave to their emotions, that their emotions just control their lives. But the Buddha taught something else. He said, oh, we can actually control our minds and develop the emotions whenever we want to. And then we get rid of anger, because anger only leads to headaches and problems with other people. Kindness is always a good way. So, with that little introduction, I think we should do one guided meditation, because the proof is in the pudding, right? So, I can talk about metta all day long, but then you might also be like, ah, boring this talk, like I was with Ajahn Brahm. So instead, we're going to do some meditation. And that will last for about half an hour. And I will signal the beginning and the end of the meditation using this gong. So, dear friends, when we do meditation, it's always very important to first be kind to our body. I already see that some people have built a meditation nests, what I call them, and many people sitting on the chair, and that is all perfectly fine, because you need to be comfortable in order to have a nice meditation. So please, look at your body with kindness. This body is a vehicle that has its problems, but it's good enough because it got us here. Or for the people online, it got you to at least listen to this talk. And our body has been there for us throughout our whole lives. So please take however long you need to, with kindness to your body, to adjust your posture in any way that makes it more comfortable. Maybe you need to change your legs or your knees, your shoulders. Just make all those core adjustments that you need to be able to sit comfortably. Put a little smile on your face. Just to be happy to be here. You're in a very safe place here, with lots of people with good intentions, including yourself. You're what I call the crème de la crème of people, because you come here to develop your minds. So you can be kind to yourself and accepting. You might even thank yourself for coming to this retreat. Ah, thank you for going to this retreat and trying to learn about myself. Trying to be a better person. See if you just can generate just an attitude of positivity towards yourself and your body. and to be happy to be here. See if you can find somewhere inside of you this feeling of being happy to be here, and also kindness towards this moment here. Those two go together. And if necessary, you can also relax your body even further. Instead of the course adjustments that I talked about earlier, to see if by just looking kindly at the feelings in your body, if you can make them a bit softer, if you can relax the various tensions that exist in the body. You can focus your attention to all the muscles in the face. Send some kind thoughts to all those muscles. And you can even tell yourself, there's no need for tension right now. Right now, all those muscles in the face are allowed to relax. I give permission out of kindness to my body to just relax now. And you can move from the feelings in your face to the feelings in your jaw and neck, and apply the same attitude. Just relax all those muscles. Don't forget that little smile on your face. Because if we put a physical smile on our face, the mind often starts to smile as well. And when you've relaxed the feelings in your neck, you can also relax your shoulders. All this hard work you might have to do in life, it's no wonder your shoulders sometimes get tense. That's okay. We are kind to our shoulders. Shoulders, you did a lot of hard work. Thank you for that. But now I allow you to be at ease. Now there is no work. No need to be tense. And it's the same with the rest of the body. If there's any other parts in your body where there's tensions or pains, and realize this is part of nature, this is all okay. And we will be kind to it. And we'll smile at it. Our body is our friend in life, not the enemy. And just like our real life friends are not always perfect, the body is also not always perfect. But we stay friends regardless of imperfections. Important to have this attitude of friendliness towards anything that happens in a meditation, particularly the body. It's like when you have a house, you invite your friends in, and the burglars and other people you don't want, you chase them out. In meditation, if we make enemies with the things we are experiencing, we're going to try to chase them out. But they won't go. So instead, we just make friends. And allow everything that happens to be. And when we allow things to be, they become more peaceful. They become less of a problem. And if through this attitude you are able to relax your body, even just a little bit, then that is the first taste of metta, of kindness, acceptance. So if you even feel a little bit of relaxation, then you know you've got it in you. And I know you've all got it in you. Everybody does. This ability to develop love, acceptance, kindness. And I will now teach you more specific meditation on how to develop this feeling of kindness to a larger extent. Imagine you are with one of your best friends or family members that you really, really get along with very well, really love. I don't mean in a sensual way, but somebody like your parents or your children, or you can also imagine a friend or a dear teacher, any person with whom you have no gripe whatsoever, or very little, who you find very easy to be with. Imagine being with that person. You can try to visualize them sitting right in front of you. And if you have trouble visualizing, like me sometimes, then just imagine their presence near you instead of the way they look, the way they feel when they are near you, and the way you feel as well when you are near them. Now, once you've imagined this person to be there, just in whatever way feels natural to you, imagine like you are wishing that person all the best in their life. I hope that you are happy. May everything you wish for come to pass. And I will always be there to support you. I'll be there when the times get rough. To ensure your safety. My dear friend, may you be well. May nothing but good happen to you. Try that for a little while in your own words. I will be quiet for a little bit. And you can also imagine embracing that person. Giving them a hug out of kindness. And the person embraces you back. Imagine saying, I will always be there for you. And maybe throughout those words, imagining your friend, you have felt some feeling of warmth inside. And that is what I mean by metta. Now we can send the same loving thoughts to all the people in this room who will we be spending the weekend with. All these people here have all the best intentions in the world, including you. So may all these people have a nice retreat. And may they be well. May they all find happiness and peace. These people here are all our friends as well. We're all friends here together. So send some kindness, if you can, to all these people here in this hall. May they all be happy. And lastly, most importantly, yourself. You also deserve peace and happiness. So may I be, or I wish upon myself all the happiness in the world. There's no need to be annoyed with myself or upset or angry. I allow myself to be however I am. I accept myself as I am, just as I accept my friends. Because I love myself. And I'm ready to be there for me. And whatever happens in this retreat, in our minds and in our bodies, I'll be there to accept that. Not just accept it out of resignation, but accept it with a warm heart. Not out of endurance, but out of kindness. I will now ring the gong to signal the end of the meditation. That is one way that we can train our mind to find this feeling of kindness inside. To imagine a person that we are naturally already inclined towards, to feel kind emotions to. And to imagine being with that person. This is one of the traditional techniques that are taught to develop the feeling of metta. And as I said before, don't forget the ice cube. I give you these instructions and you might think, oh, it didn't work. I must have done it wrong. But no. Remember, keep turning up the temperature. Keep trying. And at some point you'll understand what I'm talking about. But throughout this retreat, I'll also give you some other methods to try as well, but not too much at the same time, because then it gets confusing. I hope it hasn't been confusing already. If it has been, there will also be an opportunity to ask questions as well, and maybe I can clear up some of the confusion. And to do that, you can write down your question on a piece of paper. And is there a basket out there? There's a table with a basket out there, and you can put it in there, and then I will read out the questions tomorrow evening. tomorrow morning we'll meet again, if you feel like. You can also be really kind to yourself and sleep in. Yeah, if you do that, wonderful, I don't mind. If you're kind, if it's out of kindness, then everything goes in this retreat. So, yeah, we'll meet again tomorrow, but maybe some final words. I mentioned in the end of the guided meditation, don't approach meditation with this attitude of endurance, but instead kindness. In some meditation circles, some of you might know, some of you don't, but they use the term patience endurance. Patient endurance. And I don't like that term at all, because it sounds like you're just gritting your teeth through something really unpleasant. Ah, oh, I've got just got to endure this meditation. But the Buddha taught that meditation should be joyful. It should be happy. And therefore, we don't do patience endurance, but patient kindness. And we are kind towards our body and our minds in the meditation. And in that way, you don't have to grit your teeth. And in that way also, meditation will become much more enjoyable. Because if we are kind to our minds, our mind is kind back to us. And I also said that kindness and joy always go together. It's just natural. If you're kind, you're happy. You never meet a kind person who is feeling kind who is also grumpy at the same time. As that it doesn't go together. Kindness and happiness go together, and the Buddha said that as well. He said that one of the benefits of doing this kind of meditation is that you'll feel more happy. There's like a little text where the Buddha describes some of the benefits of this meditation. And one of the benefits is also, he says, that you'll have less bad dreams, less nightmares. And also that you have a better sleep as well. And with that in mind, I see some person, it really worked already. The metta meditation. So with that in mind, I will now end this talk. And you can, if you want, have a nice sleep tonight. Or if you feel inspired, you can meditate more as well. In this retreat, there's no fixed times when we come together to meditate. I leave it up to you to decide. You've got the whole day tomorrow, the whole night tonight. You might even just meditate. Don't go to sleep at all. Only if that feels natural. Don't just go to sleep. Don't stay up. It's just a joke. Because then it will be patient endurance again, right? Oh, I'm going to stay up all night. Yeah, hardcore. No, don't meditate like that. Meditate with kindness. Yeah. So, I hope that was useful. And we'll meet again tomorrow. Right? Okay. Now, some of you have been on meditation retreats before. And there has been a tradition in Ajahn Brahm's meditation retreats. And now I am obliged to follow that tradition, which is that we end every talk with gratitude towards the Buddha and his teachings by saying sadhu, which means awesome or good, good. And we say that three times. And some of you will know already, the rest can join. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yes, the Buddha was amazing. Thank you for listening.